Happy New Year! This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki Balancing Form and Essence. Well, in the Chinese calendar, this year is the year of the dragon, and it starts in a couple of weeks. And I'm just excited about the year of the dragon. You know, when I was a child, the dragon was this fearsome creature that came to eat you with fire. And as I'm growing up and having my own experiences with dragons, I realized that dragons are a wonderful, mystical creature. And they are fearsome. And at the same time, if you have enough strength to stand and face them and welcome them, then their fearsomeness becomes gentle and just simply a matter of innate earthly power. That's what I would call it. So I don't know if this coincides with anybody else's opinion, but it is mine. And it is really a wonderful quality to have during this next year, 2012. As you all know, this is supposed to be the year of great transformation, according to the Mayan calendar. And even though, for some of us, doubting Thomases, maybe this is just the year that they ran out of stone in which to carve their prophecies, or maybe it's simply a matter of they didn't know what to write after that. Our transformation, as far as I'm concerned, is happening already. And it is calling us to be in the moment, to be fully present as much as possible, to allow whatever natural process is happening within our lives and also within the planet. So, you know, people, you know, complain a lot about the financial situation, but in truth, it was so far from the natural flow of exchange that it had to collapse. It was like a tree branch that grew and grew and grew and grew out from the tree without any kind of support from the tree trunk. And eventually it has to fall off. And the tree trunk is still there. We still are able to do what we need to do. It might take a bit more thoughtfulness and effort, but the other thing that has been brought to my mind anyway in the last year has been how much luxury I live in. We may not think it's luxury, but we don't have to farm 24 hours a day every day to grow the food that we want. Most of us don't walk to work or walk anywhere. We take cars. Those are a true luxury. And I am much more grateful for my life these days and hope that in this lap of luxury, I can take the time to be grateful and be understanding for those things that have come to me, especially through Reiki, through my consciousness of every living thing. This first show in the new year has been recorded. The main part of the show was recorded in December of 2008, and it is a reminiscence of Paul Mitchell and I about the masters that Hawaii Otakata initiated. You know, Reiki has become an essential part of my life, and these masters that she initiated, whether they taught in the public sector, whether they are still alive, whether we all banded together and then grew apart. It doesn't really matter. These masters created a circle of energy that supported all Reiki to flourish and bloom during the last 30 years. And I am extremely grateful for their dedication, their commitment to the practice, and to their master, and to their own path. This circle of Reiki kept the system, and it is like the tree trunk of Reiki, and the branches that have branched out from this tree trunk have proliferated in many different forms, many different practices, and has awakened the practice in Japan and allowed that to be more open to Westerners. Now, we all, as masters, make the practice our own in some way. We add what we think is appropriate and important to us at the moment. We teach what is channeled through us by Reiki. We go to places that we never thought we would go to before. And we teach students, some of whom we'll never see again, and others who will be our companions on the path of Reiki for the rest of our lives. But no matter whether we see those students again, they still are connected. You know, Reiki teaches us about non-physical connection. The reaching out and knowing that we are one together. And especially for those of us who practice Reiki, because we have experienced the same energetic experiences. We've been able to join together, as in the experience you might have had during the New Year meditations. So I really encourage you to think of Hawaii Otakata and this circle of masters, of 22 masters that she initiated, and to send them in this week your gratitude for their dedication and commitment to this practice and the energetic circle that they held for so many years. And in this moment, there are just a few of us who are left and are teaching. And it's very sad on one hand, personally, for me to see each of the masters go. But on the other hand, I know that they clear the way for the next generation. So starting March 24th, and this is a two-day weekend, I'm going to start a series of events that celebrate Hawaii Otakata and the Circle of Masters, because I feel that this is part of our legacy, part of our heritage, and that no matter what form of practice you're teaching, these masters took up Reiki at a time when it was a very unusual thing to do. They dedicated their lives to it and gave all of themselves. And I so appreciate this part of their practice. And one of the things that just touched me so much during my talks with them and during the speeches that I heard them give to students and other masters, what the important phrase was, "And I teach as my master taught me. I teach as my master taught me." This for me is one of the most important essence qualities of being a master, that we surrender to the form that we were given, that we surrender to the master who has initiated us, and that we teach as much as we can in that manner until Reiki calls us to move to another form of practice. And then we assume relationship with another master. I've never had this calling, and I don't think that I will in my lifetime, but others of you might. And just remember that what we're doing is we're carrying on a tradition through an oral tradition. So everything that we do and say affects not only our students, but the whole of Reiki. I welcome you to this replay of this show and encourage us to sit in gratitude for this circle of masters who has given us so much, and of which I am lucky and am ever grateful to be a part of. Now, on with the rest of the show.
Today, and for the last few interviews, we've concentrated on Hawaiʻo Takata, the master who met Shichiro Hayashi in Japan in the 1930s through her own need to be healed, and in doing that discovered that she wanted to learn this healing art from Japan and bring it very pragmatically back to Hawaii with her so that she could keep her family and herself healthy. During this time when she was in Japan, she spent time with Shichiro Hayashi and his family and became very devoted to this practice of Reiki. And as a result of this, and her own personality of passion and dedication, she brought to all of us in the world today this practice of Reiki, whatever it looks like and however it's done. So December is a very special month for Hawaiʻo Takata. She was born on December 24th, 1900, in a plantation camp on the island of Kauai, Hawaii. And the plantation camp was there because there were sugarcane plantations, and they wanted to have field laborers come. And at first they used Hawaiians, Native Hawaiians, and then the plantations got so large that they needed extra help. So, and the Hawaiians were actually dying of what we would call perhaps Western diseases, smallpox, and so on. So they brought farm workers from many countries. It ends up 22 countries, but the largest group of these people were from Japan, and that's where her parents came from, was Japan to Hawaii. She was born on the island of Kauai, as I said, and was born a member of a quite large family of all girls. And she ended up being quite small in stature and found it very hard to work in the field. So she decided that she needed to take advantage of her mind and other things that she felt like she could do so that she could escape the field work, which she did very well. She married a man who also worked on another camp on Kauai, and moved to Kealia Camp, which is just outside north of Kapaʻa Town. And there she had two girls, Alice and Julia, and lived until her husband died at the age of when she was around 30. And then she became caretaker to the Spalding estate, and these were the people who owned the plantation, until she went to Japan and met Reiki. And then she came back and started her practice of Reiki. This was not so easy in the sense that not everybody welcomed her with open arms, and not everybody believed in Reiki, but through her own tenaciousness and passion for it, and also through just practicing Reiki and other people seeing the results of the treatments, she created quite a practice for herself. And she traveled and treated people for a couple of years until Shichiro Hayashi, her teacher, came to Hawaii and stayed for about 5 months, and at the end of that went back in 1938 to Japan. And at the time of his leaving, recognized her as a master in her own right. So Hawaiio Takata from that time lived and practiced and taught Reiki until her death in December 12, 1980. So this month is a very special month for Hawaiio Takata. And I have with me today Paul Mitchell, who was one of the masters that Hawaiio Takata initiated and recognized before her death. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Phyllis. I'm really happy to be here, especially on this occasion.
Yes. Well, I was going to have Paul come. This was my plan, which of course changed. I was going to have Paul come and talk about his experiences with Hawaiio Takata, his master and teacher. And then on December 25th, which was the day after her birthday, I was going to have another program about Hawaiio Takata. But it seems that on next Thursday, so for you listeners, just some information, we will not be airing a show, and the station will be down for 2 or 3 days because they're going to move house. So we'll be back up on January 1st, and on January 1st, I'm doing a special show, which will be a guided treatment, self-treatment for the new year. So be sure that you have your computer speaker turned up loud, a place for you to lie down and be comfortable and follow the treatment. Meanwhile, back to our show today. Paul, I've just come back, actually, to Arizona from Kauai after spending another month there. And I just have 2 or 3 days ago, was on Kalia Beach, where I'm sure my grandmother used to walk and muse and wonder about her life and look out into the horizon of the ocean and wonder what was going to happen in her life. And, you know, it's pretty amazing, 30 years after her death, how this practice has just taken off. And I can remember her saying always that her dream was that Reiki would be a household word, and it sure is for thousands and thousands of people. So I would like to just come back to a place where, of the beginning, and for me, the beginning of this worldwide sort of renaissance of Reiki, so to speak, came from the 22 masters that she initiated and recognized before her death in 1980. And I've asked Paul to read the list and to make any comments that he would like to about these people and about the meetings that we've had with most of the masters that she's initiated. Paul?
Yes. Okay, well, I will be happy to go through that list. And do you want to add anything?
We'll see.
Okay. The first person on the list that I have, which is alphabetical, is George Araki. And George Araki is a very special person to me because he is the one. It is through him that I got introduced to Reiki, and we were initiated together as masters. He taught at the University of San Francisco State University, and was just a wonderful man and touched so many people in the field of holistic health. And he died just a few years ago. The second person is Dorothy Baba, and I met Dorothy just once myself. And that was at a gathering that Phyllis, you called 2 years after your grandmother's death, calling together the masters she had initiated and that you had initiated at that time to be together. And that was an amazing gathering, which we had in Hawaii. And then we had the opportunity to have a memorial service and just mm-hmm. to share our experiences of our teacher. And that's when I met Dorothy Baba,
mm-hmm.
a delightful woman. But but I really don't know much about her.
Right, and she has since, she died very soon after that, I think. She didn't live but 2 or 3 years out, so she must have died in around 1985 or 86, I think.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And the next person is Ursula Balow, and she lived in Canada. And I met Ursula once, didn't really know her very well. I'm afraid I'm going to say this a lot. So maybe you have more information about Ursula, Phyllis.
Well, Ursula and her husband had immigrated to Canada from Germany, and they lived in a part of Canada called the Okanagan in British Columbia. And she was, I think, the first master that Hawaii Otakata initiated in Canada. And and her husband, Gunter, was the man who took this photograph of my grandmother in the garden that everybody has in the pictures of the masters. And she practiced very quietly and also died about, I would say, 5 years after my grandmother.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, the photograph is certainly a gift to all of us, huh?
Yes, definitely.
The next person is Rick Bochner, and Rick was initiated in Canada. He was one of the younger generation that was initiated. And he is a wonderful musician and a wonderful storyteller, and just lived Reiki in his life in these very small communities and in a very organic way, and has had a wonderful practice and a depth of practice that that we all enjoy. He's a delight to be with and to talk with. And in the last few years, he's begun to travel a bit, and so that the World Reiki community has benefited from his wisdom and grace.
Yes, and yes, very much so. And he's still living on a little island off the coast of Vancouver, British Columbia. So, who's the next person?
The next person is Fran Brown. And Fran Brown lives in California, and she has just taught consistently from the time she was initiated. And,
yeah.
And has traveled, and I don't know if she's going to get on me for saying she's a bit elderly these days, but has had many different parts replaced, and she is going strong. She's an amazing person.
Really. Paul Mitchell and I are just going through this list of masters that Hawaii Otakata initiated before her death in 1980, and wanting to let you know who these people were and where they may have traveled and the impact that all of these people have had on our lives. Because for me, these people form a circle of Reiki that comes directly from Hawaii Otakata and holds this energy and has held this energy in their lives. And yes, and it's important for me to acknowledge them as well as their master and my own master. So we were just speaking about Fran Brown, who's still living in somewhere south of the airport, very close. She's always been, Fran has always been very closely connected to airports. She says in her little autobiographical paragraph that she was born in a house which is now one of the runways of the Atlanta, Georgia airport. So that was her first major connection with airports. She was an airline stewardess for many, many years back in the early days, and was introduced to Reiki through a connection that she had being a stewardess and having been a stewardess. And she has taken her advantage of her ease with flying to teach in many, many countries. She teaches quite a lot in the eastern part of Canada, France, and other French-speaking places in the world, which is interesting. Yeah, so that's about Fran Brown for me. And she's been on the show, and I hope to have another interview with her at some point. So, who's next, Paul?
Next is Barbara Brown. And Barbara Brown lived in British Columbia. She died just a few years ago. The sister got to spend a lot of time with her. I think kind of she felt very at home in Barbara's house, and Barbara loved having her there. And I think also that she was quite important to you, Phyllis, and as you stepped into Reiki. I think she was one of the people that really kind of held you in that, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, well, when I first met Barbara, I had no idea about anything, not about past lives or I never heard the word astrology, and I didn't know where Reiki was, and she held Reiki in this very beautiful way, but in a context of otherworldliness at that time for me. So she introduced me a lot to these certain things, and also to a very sort of organic way that Reiki could be in a family. All of her children, of course, had Reiki, and they would somebody would fall and hurt themselves in the garden or on the farm, and everybody would stop what they were doing and come give that person Reiki. And it was a wonderful environment to come into as I was discovering the context of Reiki in my life.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And Barbara also really did a lot of treatment. People came to her for treatment. And she also did teaching, but treatment was, I would say, seemed to me to be kind of the core of her practice.
Yeah, I would say that too. And anyway, she had some amazing treatment experiences for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, and never felt anything in her hands. And that was always such a conundrum for her, because she didn't have any sensation in her hands at all, and yet she would have these amazing results. So it happens sometimes.
Yeah. So the next person is Patricia Bowling Ewing, and I think I met Patricia once, but I really know nothing about her.
Well, she was I think probably in age the youngest master that my grandmother initiated at the time, and she was quite a bit younger than I was. I was 30, and I think Patricia was maybe 25 or 24 or something. And anyway, it seemed like that to me. And she had, she was just married, she just got married at the time of my grandmother's death also, and had a child. And then a few years into the 1980s, I really had lost track of her. And I haven't heard of her or from her since. And I would love to know where she is. And if this radio show somehow reaches out to Patricia, please get in touch. It would be great to connect with you again.
That would be wonderful. I often just wonder about her.
Yes, she was a meditator, and her husband taught a kind of, I hope this is correct, a kind of meditation that was sort of science of mind or Scientology or something like that. It was very intensive work, and I always was very curious about what they were doing. She was a very interesting person.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So the next person on the list needs no introduction. Phyllis Leigh Furumoto.
Well, yes.
Who was Mrs. Takata's granddaughter. Still is her granddaughter. And the oldest child of Mrs. Takata's oldest daughter, is that correct? Youngest daughter.
Yeah.
And Mrs. Takata had her eye on Phyllis from the very beginning to bring her into this this life with Reiki. It took a while. But when she got there, it was amazing.
Well, it was true. Kicking and screaming. Now it's been 30 years. Pretty amazing.
Yes, yeah. Now the next person on the list is John Gray. And John Gray learned Reiki and lived in California and taught extensively and just continued to teach. How old is John now?
94,
and he's still teaching. Yes,
he still teaches, and with the companionship or co-teaching with his wife Lourdes,
uh-huh.
And they live in very southern part of New Hampshire in a gorgeous place. I was there. When was that? In September? No, it couldn't be September. It must have been July, and. He's still very present, very witty, his usual very dry humor. And Lourdes is lovely, and I had a wonderful time with them. And we were able to do an interview. I did an interview with him for the radio show, which was aired, I think, sometime at the beginning of September. And he also did an interview with me for his students.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that was cool.
Well, yeah, John has always been a delight.
Yes. And one of his major concerns, which I have, which awakened a concern in me, which is how are we going to preserve, we don't really have a place for archives, and it seems like we're accumulating archival information and things for this practice of Reiki. And this question has never been answered. He asked it about, I think, 10, 12 years ago, and I still don't have a good answer for it, and I'd love to be able to put this one to sleep and to rest by having some kind of archival center somewhere. So we'll see what happens with that one.
Yeah. A great idea.
Yes, Mary.
And next is John's former wife, Beth Gray. She also was in California and had a metaphysical church and connected with Mrs. Takata and they organized many, many classes together for Mrs. Takata in California. Beth had a tremendous teaching career, and she traveled extensively. I think was the first person I possibly to bring Reiki to Australia, and just really touched many, many people with Reiki. And several years ago had a debilitating stroke and just died this past year, I believe.
Yes, a few months ago. Yeah, so that was amazing. And there have been on the show a few of her students lately, talking about her teaching in Australia since I was there. And it's what I find really telling about a master is about their students. And one of the things about best students is they are so passionate about Reiki and so willing to be in the public with Reiki and so on. It's I find it's really out there in Australia. She did really wonderful work there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, inspiring.
Inspiring. Yes. And next?
Next is Iris Ishikuro. And I never met Iris.
Uh-huh.
So if you have something to...
Well, Iris Ishikuro, I met her once, very, very briefly. And she has lived in San Jose, I believe, somewhere close to San Francisco. And one of the things about Iris is that, and she also died, I would say, within 5 years of my grandmother, maybe six. And she practiced another kind of healing practice from a church called Jorei, which has a lot of similarities to Reiki. And I always wondered if this practice was influenced at all by Mikao Usui. Because the church was founded somewhere during the time of his discovering of Reiki. And Iris was very prominent in combining Jorei with Reiki and other things that she did, and introduced a different way of working with Reiki that we all are familiar with now. Well, Paul and I had a little discussion in the break and realized that this reminiscing and introducing these masters is taking a bit longer and is a bit slower than we had expected. So we're just going to carry on with a bit more alacrity so that we can get to a couple of other things that we wanted to do today. So, Paul, Iris Ishikuro and...
Harry Kaboy.
Harry Kaboy.
And Harry Kaboy was initiated in Hawaii and... is still alive, and he practiced Reiki for a long time and has kind of evolved into his own personal practice.
Right. Well, you know, Harry was always very interested in Hawaii. Hawaii is very fraught with a lot of cultures that believe in spirits and ghosts and there are some very unusual things that happen, and earth spirits and so on. So it's a very fertile place for this, and he does a lot of exorcisms and spirit work, which is fascinating, actually. And I've met Harry Kaboy way, way long time ago, again, just for a fleeting moment, and I haven't seen him since and had contact with him. So that's Harry, and I'm sure he still lives in Honolulu.
Well, the next on the list is Ethel Lombardi, and I believe Ethel lived in the Chicago area and met her in Hawaii at the gathering that you called, and just a lovely person and a very gifted healer in her own right.
Yes.
And just... had a beautiful way with Reiki, and eventually developed her own healing system. I think it was called Marielle.
Yes, along with two other women. She was very clear that she wanted to respect the teachings that she got, that she received from Hawaii Otakata, and she knew that her practice was not really following the teaching of Hawaii Otakata in that way because of the direction that her healing practice was going. So she created her own, which I really respect her for and have always admired her clarity about that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the next person is Barbara McCullough, also I think in the Chicago area.
Yes.
And she also taught quite a lot. And I don't really know so much about Barbara. I've never met her. but I know that she died some years ago and actually moved to this to northern Idaho.
Yes. Yeah, I don't.
Died.
Yeah, I don't. I didn't. I lost contact with her in her latter years. And she was very influential in teaching in the eastern part of the United States. And yeah. Mhm. And I think she passed away about 7 years ago. No, longer than that, maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah, I think that's
right. Yeah. Next?
The next person is Mary McFadden. And Mary was one of the last masters initiated by your grandmother, I think. And Mary brought Reiki to Germany and did extensive teaching there. And so she's just very honored and respected because Germany is really alive with Reiki. And she was responsible for that connection, which is very beautiful.
Very beautiful and very telling for her. I believe that she still teaches part-time, well, not as extensively as she used to. She's cut back on her schedule. Good for you, Mary. I wish I could follow that. And she's, and I believe that she is living part-time in Portugal and part-time in Florida.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the next person on the list is Paul Mitchell, yours truly, who's been practicing Reiki now for 30 years, amazingly, and still teaches and travels, and it's the center of my life. What can I say?
Wonderful. And Paul has taken a role in the world Reiki community, which is very special. We don't actually know what this means energetically, but it's something. And it's recognized as head of the discipline, which for me is synonymous to, if you have a martial art, there's the lineage of the founding person of the practice, and then there's the sort of dojo or practice head teacher of the practice, and that's how I relate to Paul. And we have had a very long dynamic partnership in teaching and holding this practice for the world community. So, thank you, Paul.
Well, thank you, Phyllis. The next person on the list is Bethel Fay, and Bethel was one of the British Columbia masters, and she was an amazing person and a Gestalt therapist who was like an angel of Gestalt therapy. She was really wonderful and very close to Mrs. Takata, and such a dynamic energy. She was older when I met her, and she was hard to keep up with.
Definitely. Definitely. What a character. A spark with a capital S.
And the next person is Barbara Weber Ray. And Barbara Weber Ray was the founder of the American Reiki Association, which then became the American International Reiki Association, and then changed the name of the practice eventually to the Radiance Technique, really taking her own direction with Reiki.
Yes, and totally involved in a world community also, and has really partnered to make Reiki a household word. And I know that my grandmother was extremely taken by Barbara's organizational skills and by her willingness to really organize Reiki into something that people in the other worlds could relate to, like the AMA. So that was some significant work that Barbara has done and is continuing to do. And I don't know. I assume that she's still alive. I haven't heard from or about her for a couple of years, but I feel like I would know if I would know through the grapevine, so to speak, if she had passed on.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the next person is Shinobu Saito. And Shinobu Saito lives in California and has lived Reiki in her life in a very quiet, in-the-home way. And she is an amazing gift to those who know her, her colleagues and students and people in the international community, because of her Japanese-ness. And the way she holds and carries Reiki, just to be with her, somehow I just always feel like I can feel the roots more clearly.
Uh-huh.
And I love being with her and love listening to her. She is she has a very beautiful way.
Yeah.
With Reiki.
And sometimes it's not what she says, it's what she does not say.
Yes. I have this thing with Shinobu. Sometimes I have questions that I'm really interested in, so I'll ask her the questions, and I realize I may never get the answer, but whatever she says is worth listening to.
Exactly. Reminds me totally of my grandmother. Yeah. She's a very dear person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's Virginia Samdahl, also in the eastern part of the United States, a very dynamic teacher. And
definitely.
Yeah, she just had a wonderful way with Reiki and a wonderful presence and was so out there in the world.
Yeah, she helped form the American Reiki Association. She was Barbara Weber Ray's Reiki master, and supported Barbara and was and just taught a lot. And I know her daughter became a Reiki master, and I have really lost touch with her daughter and lost touch with Virginia, but I know that she passed away many years ago now.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then is Wanya Tuan, part of this little again, British Columbia group, and Wanya is totally, to me, special. Talking to her when I first met her was like talking to somebody from a different planet. And you know, it's because the world she lived in, I hadn't really touched. But she is a lovely way with Reiki, and a lovely way. She's a great. Great teacher. I just love being with her so much and trust her way of seeing.
Yeah, definitely. And we're going through the list of Kawayo Takata's 22 masters who were recognized and initiated by her. And it's amazing because I didn't think that this would take the whole show, but it has. And one of the things that Paul and I are realizing is how I've always seen us as a kind of geographical outreach to Reiki. And what I realized in the summary is that the masters have all taken like a focus or a realm of the Reiki practice and held that energy, exorcism, spirituality, healing, the home, the community, the world, It's like there are these different aspects. And we have one more master on the list because there were 22, and that is, Paul?
Kei Yamashita. And Kei Yamashita was the youngest sister of Hawaii Takata. And I never had the honor or opportunity to meet her, so I'll have Phyllis say something about her.
Well, she was probably the first master that Hawaii Takata initiated and recognized. And she felt that she needed to have help, but Kay was a very shy and unassuming kind of person, and I feel like she never really stepped into this as publicly, perhaps, as my grandmother would have liked. Recently, in the last 3 years, her, Kei Yamashita's granddaughter, who is all living in the Bay Area now, connected with me as kind of a long-lost cousin, and we have connected Vivian, and we have connected in our own stories of how we received Reiki from our grandmothers as children without any explanation, and it's been a wonderful, wonderful reunion, and Vivian has also been on the show very early on, so it's a wonderful thing to have this come around and this be the family connection again. So that's wonderful.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah, great. So in closing this part, I would really like to read something from Fran Brown, who wrote this mostly to the masters that she initiated and also carries this with her in her own teaching. Who was she? Hawaii Takata was my master and my friend for 7 years. She was an innovator who introduced a wonderfully simple form of energy healing to the rest of the world after she found it practiced in Japan. She came from a family who lived close to the earth. She was honest in her endeavors and worked hard to provide for her family. This made her value her time and her effort. It also prompted her to save her money and invest it in order to take care of herself in the future. Hawaii was not educated to be a teacher, and so she had to draw upon her own resources to convey her knowledge of the use of this simple healing form she had learned in Japan when she had so many health problems. She taught by storytelling, and she would tell her stories in ways that all can understand. One of the things that I really love about this is that it I always come first from the viewpoint of a granddaughter, and this is a description of Hawaii Takata from one of her students. And I would like to invite you now, Paul, to also, talk a little bit for the next few minutes about your impressions of my grandmother, Hawaii Takata.
Oh, thank you. First, I just have to say that Fran's summation is beautiful and brilliant.
Yes.
Yeah, really lovely. So I was just reflecting on the first time I met Hawaii Takata, and how I would summarize that experience. And I'd have to say she was just a delight. She was a guest lecturer in a course I was taking at the university, and she had this amazingly radiant energy from the very beginning. I just wanted to listen to her, and she started telling stories. But you know, I would lean forward to listen to her, and she spoke with authority in the purest sense of the word, in the sense that I knew that this person knew what she was talking about, and
uh-huh.
It wasn't something that I knew about, but there was this trust in her that just came. came from this, I would say, quiet authority, in the sense that, you know, I just knew that I could trust her. And so that was my first impression. And then having her as a teacher, I realized that she really introduced me to paradox through herself and through Reiki. But I was just reflecting on how she gave me a clear structure.
Uh-huh.
And she gave me great freedom at the same time. And that, to me, I realize, is an amazing thing.
Uh-huh.
That she could communicate those things with such a balance that I didn't even realize, in a sense, that it was paradoxical or maybe even contradictory. You know, do it this way. She was very clear about that. And at the same time, trust your experience. Practice, see what happens. Follow your hands. Let Reiki teach you. And that, those two arms somehow in balance that she so clearly to me communicated, is really an inspiration.
Uh-huh. Very much. And also creates this very rich learning environment.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Paul, it's the end of the show. And I hope, as to you listeners, that you have perhaps more depth, more breadth, and more understanding in a deep way about this woman, Hawayo Takata. What an amazing life, and how much she has touched so many tens of thousands of people in the world. This is Phyllis Kurumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.